Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, you might feel like you've watched every single movie that ever existed over the past couple of weeks, so you'll be happy to hear that the new year brings a slate of new releases for us to consume. Well, Deirdre Malumbi from entertainment.ie is with us now to take us through, let's just say 10. We'll just pick 10 movies from 2022 for the big screen, that is. Now, I know box sets are huge as well, getting in the way of everything on the big screen. But anyway, Deirdre, how you doing? Are you all right?
I'm doing very well. How's yourself, Dave?
Very good indeed. Okay, start us off and give us 10. Number one or whatever.
So number one, I want to start with The Batman. I think that there is a lot of buzz around this movie. I mean, obviously, we've seen The Caped Crusader on the screen so many times at this point. At this point, you've seen Tim Burton, you know, adapt Batman, Joel Schumacher, and of course, Christopher Nolan and his Dark Knight trilogy just in recent years. I think that people are really, really excited to see Robert Pattinson's kind of, from what we've seen of the trailer so far, this kind of grungy, slightly emo type kind of vibe off of Batman, which is quite unusual. And it's got an absolutely stellar cast as well, this take on the Batman. You've got Zoe Kravitz, who's playing Selina Kyle, aka Catwoman. You've got Paul Dano as the Riddler. I think that a lot of people as well are going to be really excited to see our own Colin Farrell as Oswald Cobblepot, aka the Penguin, because if you watch the trailer, oh my gosh, he's just completely transformed for the role, is now unrecognizable. And you've also got the fact that it's Matt Reeves behind in the director's
seat. Yeah, he's the guy who made all the Planet of the Apes most recent movies and Cloverfield and all that, didn't he?
Yeah. That's right, exactly. Yeah. So he's got some really good credits behind his name, and the fact that he was able to take the Planet of the Apes franchise and really reboot it and bring it to the screen in such an amazing way, I think that he's definitely the right director.
And he did that movie
job.
That was stolen from Sweden, wasn't it? Do you remember the one, Let Me In? It was pretty scary stuff. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go on. Okay, so that's Matt Reeves. So that's The Batman. The one thing I have about that is trying to just get my name around the title. For some reason, it's like saying The Led Zeppelin or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But then again, I'm glad it doesn't have a colon, Batman, the new beginning or something. Anyway, so that's The Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
Robert Pattinson is the main one in it. And obviously we'll be looking out for a completely different, because you really have to look for him because you can't see him. And that's Colin Farrell. Okay, give us the second one.
So I've also picked Belfast for this. I think that this is obviously one that a lot of Irish audiences are looking forward
Kenneth
to. There's been a lot of buzz around this already. Exactly, Kenneth Branagh. I believe that he kind of penned the script, and it's like semi-autobiographical, kind of based on his childhood growing up in Belfast. The film stars Jamie Dornan, Katrina Balfe, Judi Dench, Ciarán Hinds, and newcomer Jude Hill. He's supposed to be absolutely extraordinary in this. It's gorgeous. It's told through black and white, and it follows this young boy who's kind of on the cusp of adolescence. He's witnessing this really tumultuous period, both in his parents' marriage and the world outside. And this movie is really proving to be a big crowd pleaser. It won the People's Choice Awards at the recent Toronto Film Festival. And there's a lot of buzz around it for kind of the upcoming Oscar season. Because from what I've heard so far, I haven't had a chance to see it, but it's supposed to be kind of feel good without being too schmaltzy and cheesy. And it's a real kind of love letter to Belfast and Northern Ireland and to cinema more generally.
Okay,
so
Jamie Dornan, Katrina Balfe, Judi Dench, Ciarán Hinds, and newcomer Jude Hill as well. I'll give you a tiny bit here of Kenneth Branagh's Belfast.
Mama says if we went across the water, they wouldn't understand the way we talk.
If they can't understand you, then they're not listening. You know who you are, don't you? You're Buddy from Belfast, where everybody knows you.
Hey, Buddy! Your ma's calling you BS!
We're looking to cleanse the community a wee bit.
You wouldn't want to be the old man out in the street.
Touch my family and I'll kill you.
Are we gonna have to leave Belfast?
We'll fight this together.
This is it.
This is what?
This is war.
Up one up your eyes. Everlasting Love is the song going on there. Okay, now let me see. That is Belfast. So number three is, Top Gun is next, isn't it? Isn't that the one you're going to mention? Yeah.
That's right, Top Gun Maverick. So I think that there's a lot of buzz around this one, especially because it's been so delayed. Its original release date was something like July 2019. So it's been nearly 3 years. Of course, we're going to see Tom Cruise back in his most iconic role.
Hold on, objection, Your Honor. I think he's much better Operation Transformation, I was going to say. What do you call the ones that
Mission Impossible.
Thank you. What the hell? Sorry, take two, Christmas, etc. Okay, sorry, I've been away.
That'll be an interesting season to check.
Yeah, okay, start that again. Yeah, okay. I think he's much better on those things. I think they're fantastic. But anyway, Top Gun, really? Am I looking for a Top Gun? I'm not.
I think that Top Gun just has such like a cult status at this point.
Yeah.
You know? Like more so as a comedy, really, than a film that anyone kind of takes seriously.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see the sequel to it.
And Val Kilmer. Is Val Kilmer in this, by any chance? Have you seen the documentary on Val Kilmer? My God, it's frightening stuff.
No, I haven't. Yeah. But I saw the trailer for it and it looks spectacular. Yeah, like, really
very sad.
And everything.
Yeah. Anyway, so tell me more. Top Gun Maverick, what's going to happen?
Yeah. So the whole idea is that Maverick is now working as a test pilot. And then one of the new recruits of Top Gun is Rooster, a.k.a. the son of Maverick's late friend Goose, who, of course, like lost his life in the first Top Gun movie. And this was like a really traumatic thing to happen to Maverick. So from what I've seen of like trailers and clips so far, it is taking itself like quite seriously. So it'll be interesting to see, because the original Top Gun, it is, like I said, it's practically a comedy. Like, it is so like outrageously camp and ridiculous. Like, there's that absolutely pointless volleyball scene in it and stuff. I can't imagine them incorporating that into this one. But from what I've read, they're really trying to make those flight sequences as practical and realistic as possible. So I think that that'll be a really interesting thing to see on big screen as well.
Okay, what else? What's number four?
I have picked Jurassic World Dominion. So this is the sixth movie in the Jurassic Park franchise.
Again.
There are a
Do
lot
I care?
Of and sequels in this. Yeah. Well, I suppose. I mean, the thing about this series is that it is made for the big screen, right? It is just like over the top, absolutely silly and unrealistic, just popcorn entertainment. What's great for this film as well is that if you're a fan of the original Jurassic Park, Sam Neill, Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum from the original, they're all coming back. They're joining the Jurassic World leads, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. So I think that people are really excited to see those characters come back. And the whole idea in this movie is that the dinosaurs, they are out of Jurassic World. They have been unleashed and now they roam the earth as they please. So I'm sure that's going to lead to all kind of, you know, fascinating like sex sequences and stuff like that.
What's it called again? Jurassic World Dominion is what it's called, is it?
Yes, because now dinosaurs are dominating.
Oh, right. I should have guessed that. Okay, fair enough. So there'll be loads more. This is number six, you say? Crikey.
This is number six, yeah.
All right, okay. I'm waiting for you to say some movie that I really want to see. Okay, let's go for number five. What is it?
I have picked Scream. Any interest in the Scream
franchise? Oh my God, I hate those Scream movies. Everything about them, I hate them. You know, there's more Scream. I'll take a guess. Will this be Scream 6, 5?
It is 5.
Is it? So, right, okay.
Yeah. And they've kind of done it. You know how they revamped the Halloween franchise and when they brought it back, they just called the 2018 movie Halloween. So it's similar with this one. It's just called Scream as opposed to like Scream 5 or something like that. Or subbing in a 5 for the S.
You know, or putting a THE in front of Batman. Gosh, okay. So it's just called Scream. Was the first one called Scream? It probably was.
This one was called Scream. Yeah. So that was released back in, I think it was 2001 or something like that. And at the time, it was the highest grossing slasher film in the world, until it was actually, that record actually was surpassed by the Halloween movie in 2018. So this is like the slasher franchise. You always have your, you know, hardcore horror fans out there. So they're definitely going to be excited to see Scream, especially because you've got Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox and David Arquette returning as Sydney, Gale Weathers and Dewey Riley. People will know those characters in and out, because they all featured in all 4 of the first Scream movies. Interestingly enough, some first reaction reviews came out for it. So the critics have kind of seen it already. And there's been really high praise for the movie so far. They're saying Wes Anderson will be proud.
Okay, I'm wrong.
That it's true to the original's tone, but it still feels smart and reinvigorated. So it's probably one for the fans, Dave.
I have a thing from it here, right? Okay, it says 25 years after a streak of brutal murders shocked the quiet town of Woodsboro, a new killer has donned the ghost face mask and begins targeting a group of teenagers to resurrect secrets from the town's deadly past. Mother of God.
My mask says if we went across the water, they wouldn't understand the way we talk.
If they can't understand you, then they're not.
Sorry, I got so carried away, I played the wrong
one. You
are. Here, this one.
Hello?
It's happening.
3 attacks so far. Do you have a gun?
I'm Sydney Prescott, of course I have a gun.
Something about this one just feels different.
Samantha? I know who you are. I've been through this. A lot. This is your life now, which means that whoever this is going to keep coming for you. You ready for this? Never.
it's a wonder there isn't a line kind of thing. You see that little cabin way over there in the woods? I'm just going over there by myself because I think I left my mask behind. I'm going to need it. Nonsense. Okay, Scream. Okay, anything else? What's number six?
I have picked Downton Abbey. And
yeah, this one, this surprised people, didn't it? Like Downton Abbey, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make a movie out of it. And it made trillions and they said, let's make five more.
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely really, really successful. I suppose I picked this one because audiences just seem to really love Downton Abbey. And like you said, they absolutely flocked to cinemas for the first movie. It made 194 million globally. And I believe it was something like quite a small budget as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It really made back a huge return. And I think that now that the series dropped on Netflix over the last year, I can imagine that Irish and UK audiences will be going in even more. Even I've become a fan since myself and my mom both binged the series over recent months. So I think, and I mean, the movie isn't, the first movie wasn't as good as the series, I don't think, but I think that, you know, if you're a fan of the series, you're still going to be curious enough.
Absolutely.
To kind of get the movie
yeah.
And everything.
Yeah. What's it called, by the way? Does it have a title or is it just Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey, A New Era.
So is this the second or the third one for the big screen?
This is the second one for
second.
The big screen.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was one called Downton Abbey and now it's Downton Abbey, A New Era. Brilliant.
Yeah,
okay.
You've got to add those subtitles, you know.
All right. What's number seven?
I have picked Death on the Nile. So this is the sequel to 2017's Murder on the Orient Express. So Kenneth Branagh is playing Hercule Poirot in this series. People will probably be very familiar with the books and everything at this stage. And it's being released on February 11th. So it's one for Valentine's Day, which I think is kind of gas because I'm pretty sure one half of a married couple ends up murdered at some point in the movie. So I mean, I don't know how romantic that is exactly, but it's got a terrific cast. You've got Gal Gadot in there, TV stars French and Saunders. You've got Emma Mackey from Sex Education, Annette Bening, Russell Brand, Rose Leslie and Letitia Wright, Armie Hammer co-stars. So it'll be interesting to see this one. It's been brought to the big screen before. But again, it got a sequel because Murder on the Orient Express ended up making such a killing at the box office. So I think that people are really looking forward to this one. And it's a bit of fun to go check out a murder mystery every now and again.
And the long delayed sequel, you say, this was meant to be out a few years ago, was it?
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, it's one like so many that were kind of delayed as a result of the pandemic. And people were wondering for a while because it's a 20th century or whatever it's called now kind of movie, if it was going to just skip cinemas altogether and go straight to Disney Plus. But I suppose Disney had enough faith in it that people were going to want to go see it on the big screen. So it will be going to cinemas in February.
OK, and by the way, just as a matter of interest, you haven't seen a poster for the movie, have you?
The poster, it's kind of the big ship one.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I'd like to know because like if the movie was made a few years ago and now what's happened with Armie Hammer and his life in the last few years, I bet you they'd like to rub him off the poster. Anyway, that's Death on the Nile, number seven. So number eight is what?
I've picked Elvis. So this is an interesting one. It's distinct.
Well, that's the Baz Luhrmann movie, is it?
That's the Baz Luhrmann, exactly. So Baz Luhrmann, people will probably know that he directed Moulin Rouge, Romeo and Juliet. He would have done The Great Gatsby back in 2013. So this is his first movie since then. There's no trailer for this movie yet, but Baz Luhrmann did tweet out some kind of teaser footage showing the silhouette of Austin Butler, who is going to be taking on the role of Elvis Presley. It's obviously a really big role. There's going to be a lot of pressure there. Tom Hanks is going to be playing Elvis Presley's manager, Colonel Tom Parker. And it really kind of focuses on their relationship, their dynamic, as well as
Tom Hanks is playing Colonel Tom Parker. Do you remember he was Mr. White, isn't that in That Thing You Do, when he was the manager of the band in that movie as well? There's an Elvis thing on TV tonight, The Rebirth of the King. It's a documentary charting Elvis Presley's Las Vegas period, arguing that he reached his peak as both a singer and a performer during his time in the gambling capital and that it wasn't bad for him at all. 10 past 9 on BBC Two. As it says there on the paper. Anyway, so Elvis it is, and it is Baz Luhrmann. Who's playing Baz Luhrmann? Who's playing Elvis, did you say again? Austin Butler.
Austin Butler. He's kind of this up-and-coming actor. He would have starred recently in Once Upon a Time, The Dead Don't Die, and MTV's The Shannara Chronicles. So, I mean, I think that this role for him, given he isn't quite a big name yet...
Was Harry Styles supposed to be doing that? No?
He was in talks to play him. I'm pretty sure he was like in talks for like a Beatles biopic as well. Like Harry Styles is just kind of a bit everywhere at the moment. But I think for Austin Butler, this role is going to make or break him. Like once we see him as Elvis, either everyone will know his name or everyone will want to forget about him. So no pressure for that actor.
No pressure at all. Okay, that's Elvis, number eight. Give us the two more.
So I have picked Nightmare Alley. This is directed by Guillermo del Toro. I am a huge, huge fan of this director.
Yeah, I find his stuff a bit overpraised, but it's certainly very different, all right? No question about it. And well worth seeing all his stuff. Pan's Labyrinth, Shape of Water.
Shape of Water. They're probably his best known ones, but even like you go back to kind of his earlier films,
Cronus,
The Devil's Backbone, etc. So he does really kind of have his roots in horror. So I think it's interesting to see him go back to that genre, having done the Oscar winning stuff, you know, with The Shape of Water and everything. I think this movie is going to have something of a cult status. And I also picked it because, like I was saying with Scream, there is kind of a big audience out there for horror movies. You know, they do like kind of the big screams, I suppose you could say, and it's got a terrific cast as well. You've got Bradley Cooper in there, Cate Blanchett, Toni Collette, Willem Dafoe, Richard Jenkins, who would have starred previously in The Shape of Water, actually, and then Rooney Mara, Ron Perlman, and David Strathairn. So,
That's
and
a bit of a cast, all right, no question.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait too long to see it either. It hits cinemas on January 21st.
Okay, that's Nightmare Alley, directed by Guillermo del Toro. Okay, now, in fact, he won the Oscar a few years ago, didn't he, for The Shape of Water? Okay, so what's the last one, number 10?
So this one is kind of a guilty pleasure pick because I know that romantic comedies are such a love it or hate it genre. But look, it does happen that every Valentine's Day comes around and there has to be some romantic comedy in the cinemas. And there's nothing quite like a romantic comedy headlined by Jennifer Lopez. If you want to go for that totally cheesy, schmaltzy factor.
Yeah, did you ever see, what was the recent one? Second Act, was that what it was called? I think.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I loved it.
Oh my God. The Backup Plan, I remember that. I mean, like what was the one? She was with George Clooney in 1998 and she was going to be huge whatever you call it. She was in the boot of the car and all the rest. That was much better kind of stuff. There was The Boy Next Door too. I mean, that's just what she does. Oh, Made in Manhattan, of course, as well. So that's what she does, isn't it? I know. A couple of years back, she had that one where I thought it was completely overpriced. Hustlers.
Oh yeah, Hustlers. Mm. That was a big one. Yeah, I mean, Jennifer Lopez has shown that she can do the drama as well as the comedy. But yeah, she is kind of made for the
rom-com. So what is Marry Me? What happens?
So the whole idea is that she plays a kind of superstar singer in the movie, because of course she does. And she's about to get wed before an audience of fans, and it's going to go on live stream and everything. But just before she's about to tie the knot, she finds out that her long-term partner has actually been cheating on her. So she decides to marry a random man in the audience instead. And of course, that man has to be played by someone as charming as Owen Wilson.
Start that again. Wait a second. She's going to get married in front of all her fans to some bloke that she wants to get married to. Then she finds out that the bloke has been cheating on her. So then she says, to hell with him, I'll just take somebody from the audience.
Yep, that's what happens.
Okay, all right.
they try to then navigate this like newly formed, totally random marriage. It's very kind of Notting Hill, I think. You know, the kind of regular man and then the celebrity woman, and how are they going to figure this out? Yeah.
Okay, so you got The Batman, you got Belfast, you picked Death on the Nile, Elvis, Nightmare Alley, Marry Me. Have I left something out? I have, yeah, I'm sure I have. Oh, Top Gun, Maverick, and Jurassic World Dominion as well. And Marry Me is the J-Lo one. Well, that's 10 to go with another 100 more. And then there's all the box sets too. Shit, for crying out loud, the weather stays like this, we'll be in every night. Listen, Deirdre, thanks a million. Deirdre Malumbi, it is from entertainment.ie. Thanks very much, Deirdre. Happy New Year to you. In fact, you started off with The Batman, so I'll give you a little blast on that.
The Riddler is asking for you.
The killer left this for the Batman. Why is he writing to you?
You came. I've been trying to reach you.
Riddler's latest. It's all about the Waynes. If we don't stand up, no one will.
You got a lot of cats.
I have a thing about strays.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.